Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 16. One who is content and satisfied links his activities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, residing in everyone's heart, enjoys transcendental happiness without endeavoring for his livelihood. Where is such happiness for a materialistic man, who is impelled by lust and greed, and who therefore wanders in all directions with a desire to accumulate wealth? Text 17. For a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger even when he walks in pebbles and thorns. For him, everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always self-satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere. Text 18. All these verses have santushta, satisfied in them. Santushta kena varajan. Navarte tapi varina. Anupastya jivya karpanyan yad. Griha palayate jana. Santushtaha. Person who is always self-satisfied. Kena. Why? Va. Or. Rajan. O king. Na. Not. Vartita. Should live happily. Api. Even. Varina. Only drinking water. Anupastya. Due to the genitals. Jaivya. And the tongue. Karapanyat. Because of a wretched or miserly condition. Griha palayate. He becomes exactly like a household dog. Jana, such a person. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, a self-satisfied person can be happy even with only drinking water. However, one who is driven by the senses, especially by the tongue and genitals, must accept the position of a household dog to satisfy his senses. Purport. According to the Shastras, a Brahmana, or a cultured person in Krishna consciousness, will not enter anyone's service, maintain body and soul together, and especially not for the satisfaction of the senses. A true Brahmana is always satisfied, even if he has nothing to eat. He can drink a little water and be satisfied. This is only a matter of practice. Unfortunately, however, no one is educated in how to be satisfied in self-realization. As explained above, the devotee is always satisfied because he feels the presence of the super soul within his heart and thinks of him 24 hours a day. That is real satisfaction. The devotee is never driven by the dictations of the tongue and genitals, and thus he is never victimized by the laws of material nature. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami, in his first verse, states Vacha Vegam Manasakrota Vegam Jiva Vegam Udapastha Vegam Etan vegam yova shaheta dira sarvam apimam prativyam sashishat. That one who can control the urges of the tongue, vacha vegam, vacha, the urge to speak, the mind's demands, manasa vegam, jiva vegam, the urge to eat, udapasta, the stomach, Udapasta Vegam, and the generals. udara and apasta. Udara, the stomach, and apasta, the genitals. One who can tolerate these, vacha vegam, manasakrodha vegam, jiva vegam, udapasta vegam, etan vegam yovishaheta dira, then he's said to be a intelligent person, dira, tolerant. Visheta adiram, vacha vegam, manasakrodha vegam, so krodha also, anger, the urge. If we try to satisfy our lust, then greed will overtake us, and after greed comes frustration, anger, which leads to delusion. And everyone looks beautiful when you're deluded. And then we forget. I tried to gratify my senses yesterday, and they still aren't gratified today. So if I try to gratify them today, it's not that they're going to be gratified today either. Tomorrow I'll have the same problem. And from forgetfulness, then one will simply do the wrong thing. One will still try to gratify the senses, punak punas charvita, charvananam. And there are two different types of gratification. One is the eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So these have their limit. Or as Prabhupada said, as I've repeated many times, if you're an elephant, then you should eat like an elephant. And if you're an ant, then you should eat like an ant. But if you're an ant and you're trying to eat like an elephant, you'll have some problems. And if you're an elephant and you try to eat like an ant, you'll also have problems. Therefore, yuktahara, one should eat what is necessary. And what is necessary depends upon not only the gross physical body, but also on the mind. We can satisfy our gross senses, and they have their limit. You know, eat so much. There's only 24 hours a day you can sleep. The human body only has the capacity for so much sex life. And we have only so much capacity for defense. So therefore, generally speaking, these activities are easily regulated. Of course, nowadays people are trying to act as if they have no responsibility even to regulate their own eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And therefore people are always diseased in this age. Because there's only so much energy in the body, and if you dissipate the energy, there's only so much energy for eating. No one has an unlimited capacity for digesting everything. There's pigeons who can eat rocks. But if a human being tries to eat the rock, first of all, he'll have to go to the dentist quite soon. And number two, he won't be able to digest that. What to speak of rocks, human beings are not meant for eating meat either. But if one insists on doing whatever he wants, that's called whimsically, then the result is that one has to suffer. And the suffer is not only in the karmic reaction that will come in the future, but also the fact that one will have to suffer from indigestion, which is the root cause of all disease. Not only physical indigestion, but one will have to take on the mentality of the poor animal that was being slaughtered, full of fear and anger, frustration. And by associating with such food, one will also become full of fear and frustration, anger. So this is the result of acting whimsically. And sleeping, the more one sleeps, the more tired one will become. If one is sleeping all day long, then tomorrow one will have to sleep all day long too. One gets accustomed to sleeping a certain number of hours. And as far as mating goes, obviously, there is only so much capacity for mating. And if one tries to imitate the monkeys or the pigeons, then one will soon dissipate all his energy. these diseases that they've declared, like AIDS, that there's some HIV virus. This is all mental concoction, because AIDS was 26 different or 27 different separate diseases accumulated or aggregated into one disease called AIDS. Why? Because they were only getting so much money for research at that time. And therefore they decided to add a few more autoimmune diseases to that category so they can increase their research grants. So at one time there was even more people researching AIDS than had AIDS. But AIDS had different types of diseases, all grouped into one. Of course, there's one disease which is indigestion, which is manifested itself in different ways, at different degrees, and one of the degrees is called autoimmune diseases. But that depends upon what kind of indigestion you have. For instance, there's one disease called carpus mucosae, which is a disease that especially homosexuals would get. It's a kind of cancer, skin cancer. But that was due to the fact that they dissipated all their energy, all their tejas, by illicit sex. If you have sex 5 times a day, then you won't have any energy left, and then the body won't be able to maintain itself properly, can't digest food, can't get rid of the waste, and therefore the normal cells, they go crazy and they become cancerous. Similarly, homophiliacs were also grouped into the AIDS disease. So that's considered a birth problem where you can't, the blood doesn't clot. And some of the other diseases, pneumonia, people who died of a certain type, were all grouped into. So they may claim that you can do it anything you want and that there's some remedy, or actually it doesn't matter what you do, that some disease, some germ is going to come and attack you. You're not responsible for your sickness. This is all mental concoction. Therefore, one should be aware that eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, they have their limits. But the mind, even when it's able to control the eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, the mind has no limit to what it wants. If you have $100 and you want $1,000, and if you have $1,000 and you want $1,000,000, if you have $1,000,000, you want $10 million, or 100, or 1 billion, or 10 billion, or 100 billion. There's no limit to what the mind will demand. I have $100 billion, if this man has $125 billion, why should he have $125 billion, and I only have $100 billion? Then the mind will drive one to work to get more money. When Howard Hughes, the richest man in the world, he had $16 billion in the 70s, and he was asked, what do you want? He said, I want more money. He felt insecure. He only had $16 billion at the time. He was worried whether he was going to get his 2 chapatis the next day. So the mind has unlimited capacity. Therefore, Krishna says, Udharat atmanatmanam, atmanam apasadayat, amaiva yatmano bandura, amaiva ripur atmana. A man must elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Yadritsha lava santushto. So this word santushto. Yadritsha, one who is satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord. So our real enemies are dissatisfaction. It's caused by enviousness. We compare ourselves to others and we become envious. Why does this person have something I don't have? I'm the supreme, I should have everything. And because we're envious and dissatisfied, if we're not happy. But if one is able to realize that I'm not this body, I'm Krishna's servant, and be satisfied with whatever Krishna gives, or whatever service Krishna gives, and think about Krishna. As it says, Vyas Parsheva Satatma, Vinyat Yatmini Yat Sukham, Sabrahma Yoga Yuktatma, Sukham Akshayam Ashmite. Well, actually, let's step back. Well, you have to step back to the beginning of the chapter, but we'll step back one verse. The Prarishat Priyam Prapya, No Dvijat Prapya Priyam, Stira Buddhira Samudo, Brahma Vid Brahmanisti Taha. Person who doesn't rejoice when he attains something pleasant, or laments when he attains something unpleasant, was self-intelligent, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is said to be situated in self-realization. In other words, if we're just satisfied with whatever we have, then we'll be happy. And if we're not satisfied and we work to get something, we'll only be happy, satisfied when we get it. But if we don't need it, then we'll automatically be satisfied. So-called satisfaction is just getting what we think we need, and then when we get it, then we're satisfied. But if you don't need it, and you don't get it, then you don't, they'll always be happy and satisfied. We're satisfied with whatever comes by Krishna's grace. The Prarishat Priyam Prapya No Dvija. And if we lose something, we shouldn't be unhappy because we never owned anything. If you never own anything, you have nothing to lose. It's like if you go to the bank, Gorensky Bank, and you tell everyone in the bank you can have all the money back. But they're not impressed because you never had the money in the first place. You can't renounce something you never had. Similarly, we're not this body, or does anything in relation to this body actually belong to us? It all belongs to Krishna. Therefore, we have nothing to gain here and nothing to lose, except for our Krishna consciousness. We can gain Krishna consciousness or we can lose it. That's up to us. That depends upon how we see things. If we see things, everything is an opportunity, whatever we have, to utilize in Krishna's service, then our life will become successful. Like the Brahmin, who is very poor, but he heard in one lecture that he went to, that if you meditate upon Krishna, even within your mind, you perform service there, then you'll get the same benefit as if you were actually physically doing the work or the service. So therefore, he started to practice deity worship within his mind. And he'd sit down by the bank of the Ganges regularly and do pranayama to steady his mind. And then he'd establish his deities within his mind. And he'd bathe them very nicely. They got silver and gold pots and went to the Jamuna, the Ganges, the Saraswati, and other rivers and collected water from them and used that water to bathe the deities within his mind. And then after bathing the deities, he dried them and dressed them very nicely with the clothes that he created within his mind. He offered them very nice food every day. And this way he did his deity worship. One day he cooked sweet rice within his mind. And in order to make sure that the sweet rice was cool enough to offer to the deities, he put his finger into the sweet rice pot. But when he put his finger into the pot, because the sweet rice was too hot, he burned his finger. And after burning his finger, he woke up and saw that his finger was burnt. So he was quite surprised that I was only mentally offering the sweet rice, and yet when I put my finger into that mental offering, it actually got burnt. And Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, was laughing, and the Lakshmis there were wondering, what is Lord Narayan laughing at? So he explained, he didn't explain anything, he simply sent a Vaikuntha airplane and picked up the Brahmin and brought him to Vaikuntha. And there the Brahmin explained to the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha what had happened. The idea is that things that are offered within the mind are actually accepted by Krishna if they're offered with devotion. And if only when things are actually mentally, when our mind is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, can we actually be satisfied. If we only do things physically, externally, and there's no consciousness behind it, then it's only external. It doesn't really affect us. We don't get the internal experience. Therefore, Krishna says, Bhayas Parshe Vasakdhadma. Such a person is not attracted to external sense objects or sense gratification, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So that's what we want to do. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo. Amrish Maharaj, first of all, try to fix his mind upon Krishna. It's not something we wait for in the far distant future, trying to fix our minds upon Krishna. Well, that's our principle. Of course, in Satya Yoga, Krite Tadayato Vishnu, people could naturally, automatically, spontaneously think about Krishna. And still it took them at least 10,000 years to attain perfection. And Dwarapaya, Tretiyam, Yajitomukai, and when people couldn't fix their mind upon Krishna because of greed, because of desires of sense gratification, therefore they had to offer whatever extra they had into the fire and sacrifice. And then when their mind was purified in that way, then they could easily think about Krishna. And in Dwarapa Yuga, when people became even more greedy for sense gratification, people had to come and regulate their senses by coming to serve the deity, and by doing so, then they could make offerings to the deity, and by offering to the deity, then gradually their minds would become purified, and they could think of the deity without deviation. And in Kali Yuga, we're neither attracted to deity worship, nor nor yajna, sacrifice, nor are we attracted to meditation. Therefore, kalodhadari kirtana. The only hope is to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly. To try to practice in our daily life sacrificing for the holy name by serving the Sankirtan movement, worshiping the holy name in the form of the holy name, hearing about Krishna regularly, his name, form, quality, and pastimes, and appreciating them, or also worshiping the deity in the temple. And then we'll be able to think about Krishna without deviation, without disturbance, without distraction. So that's the aim. That's the only way one can actually become satisfied. Otherwise, people are going to try for happiness. Yehi samsparshita bhoga, dukha yamane evate, adyantavanta kondiya na te shri ramate buddha. Such a person is not attracted to sense gratification. Oh, sorry. Yehi one who's not attracted to samsparshita, that pleasures who are created by contact with the senses with their objects. Such pleasures have a beginning and end, O Arjuna, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. So what appears to be happiness in the material world is actually the source of great misery. The more one tries to gratify the senses, the more one becomes dissatisfied, because it's like pouring gasoline on a fire. One can pour gasoline on the fire, and temporarily the fire will go out, but then it'll blaze even higher. So trying to satisfy, gratify the senses may give temporary happiness, but then so much more misery, so much more anxiety. Therefore, shaknotihaiva yakshodum praksharira vimokshana kamakrodo bhavanvegan siyukta sasaki nara. That before giving up this material body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the mind, of this desire and anger, and check the force of one is able to check the forces of the material senses and check the check the forces of desire and anger, he is a yogi and he's happy in this world. So tolerance, one has to learn how to tolerate these senses without being disturbed. If one is able to tolerate without being disturbed, then he's called a dhira. But that's only possible if we sufficiently think about Krishna. If we actually can put Krishna in our mind and experience his presence, we actually become conscious of Krishna, if Krishna reveals himself to us by sincere devotional service, then the result is we can feel a higher pleasure and therefore not attracted by the lower so-called pleasures of this material world. And that's called the Brahmins are an example of that. There was one Brahmin. South India, he was living very simple, and the king heard about the glories of this Brahmin, and he decided to go there and help the Brahmin. So he came to the Brahmin and he said, "My dear Brahmin, I'm the king, I have so much wealth, I'd like to help you." He said, "I don't need any help." He said, "What do you mean? You're living here, you have a shack. What are you eating?" He said, "Well, every day my disciples, they go out and they beg some rice. And my wife comes and cooks it. And there's a tamarind tree here, we just pick a few tamarind trees, throw it into the rice, and that's what we eat every day. And I'm satisfied. I don't need your help." Because if you take help from such people, then you have to also take their mentality, their offering. And if they're not very Krishna conscious, and you're not Krishna conscious, then the result is you'll become affected by such taking help from such people. Therefore, the more independent one becomes, the better one is. And that independence is only when we become independently strong to depend upon Krishna. Then one can get the fire of devotional consciousness so that one can accept so many offerings and not become affected by them because they're all being offered to Krishna in the fire of spiritual life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay.
Another question from Avaduta Raj Das. Please accept my humble obeisance. I read when one has achieved but a partial vision of Paramatma. One understanding of life is called Atma Darshana or self-realization. So question is, what mean partial version of Paramatma? Is it not that by attaining the vision of Paramatma, one can see him completely? Thank you.
Well, I don't know what he's referring to, so I can't answer the question. Yeah, just where does it state that?
He didn't mention any proper statement here, just to ask.
Oh, I don't know. I can't answer something I know nothing about. I never heard that.
Basically, what is partial vision of Paramatma?
I have no idea. I can't even see Paramatma. What to speak of partially? Well, the best thing to do is come to the temple and see the deities. Then you can see the source of Paramatma. You can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's standing right here with his Panchatattva. You can see everything right now. You know, to get partial vision of Paramatma, you can get the vision of the source of Paramatma, the full vision. Just come to the temple. Okay. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj. So, regarding this example, accepting money from king, what about like if you work with outside world, like, and then getting payment for whatever you do?
Yeah, well, you're doing something for it. You're sacrificing some energy, and therefore it's reciprocating. But still, we have to utilize, see if that will be utilized in Krishna's service. If we utilize in Maya's service, then we're a Maya.
So, as I understood, it's okay because you are utilizing your own service as well.
Well, you're giving some energy. It's Krishna's energy. Everyone has to make a living in order to maintain this body. Krishna says we have to work. The work better is not sinful, but is something connected with something a little bit more sattvic. But anyhow, everyone has to work to maintain the body. But work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu, has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Perform prescribed duties for his satisfaction, O son of Kunti. This way you'll always remain unattached and free from bondage. So if we have to work, we should, at least within our own minds, we should be working for Krishna, not for our sense gratification. And then we won't be attached and we're free from bondage.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there may be something like that. I just don't know anything about it. Okay. Thank you very much. Khwala. Krantarashi Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.